Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the coming Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So a few years ago, the Episcopal Church created a series of posters to encourage greater church attendance. And I learned only recently that they were created by a Minneapolis-based advertising firm. They were all designed to be run as full-page ads in newspapers and magazines and placed in churches across the country. You might remember some of them. One of them was kind of an over-the-shoulder shot of someone sitting in his living room. You could tell because his feet were up on the ottoman. There was a crucifix high on the wall, and under that was a large television. And on the television, there was a football game, and one of the teams was wearing the silver and blue of Detroit. And the heading underneath the picture read, 2,000 years later, and Christians are still losing out to the Lions. I'm so glad I didn't have to explain that to you. One of the most popular, and maybe my favorite, focused on Christmas. Its space was equally divided between two pictures. On the left, a Norman Rockwell-esque portrait of Santa Claus, the jolliest of Santa Clauses you can imagine, while on the right, one of the old master's renditions of the Christ child wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The headline over these two pictures read, "Whose birthday is it anyway?" Now, I am reminded of that poster regularly during this time of the year when popular culture, economic opportunity, and religious convictions seem to clash together so regularly. Whose birthday is it anyway, I wonder to myself as I walk by shops in the Eden Prairie Mall illuminated by countless thousands of lights. Whose birthday is it anyway, I muse while driving by yards bespeckled with plastic nativity scenes where Mary and Joseph are juxtaposed with Santa's flying reindeer and magi and snowmen often keep company. Whose birthday is it anyway, I mutter to myself as I listen to yet one more recording star's sickly sweet rendition of the holiday classics. Whose birthday is it anyway, I start to grumble as I swerve through the Mall of America parking lot, seeking that elusive space into which to throw my car so I can continue my pursuit of just the right gift at an affordable price. Whose birthday is it anyway? The answer, of course, is supposed to be obvious. It is Jesus' birthday. You know that as well as I do. It's the reason we're a church, the reason indeed for the season. But what is perfectly obvious to us does not apparently seem quite as clear to St. John, the author of the passage we just heard read a few moments ago. St. John, the evangelist, who in the opening verses of his gospel writes, "He, that is Jesus, the Word, he was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, he gave the power to become children of God. Children who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God." Now pause for a moment and let that sink in. Did you hear what St. John was saying? To all who receive him, he gave power to become the children of God. Whose birthday is it? Well, St. John seems to think that it is your birthday. Oddly enough, John seems to know nothing of a child, doesn't say anything about a young mother named Mary or her husband Joseph, and provides us with absolutely no details about stables, mangers, shepherds, or magi. By all accounts, in fact, John's is the least colorful, least dramatic of the Christmas accounts, and has therefore inspired few paintings and absolutely no lawn decorations to date. But what John does know, he tells. In fact, he sings. And through his song, he bears witness to the one who comes so that we might become children of God. Children, that is, who are more than the sum total of the successes and setbacks of our lives. Children who are not forever shackled to the pain and paucity of mortal life. Children who cannot ultimately be dominated by the whim and will of others. Children, that is, who are born of God, to be like God in and through the Word of God, Jesus the Christ. That's right. Genesis tells the story of the first creation of humanity, while St. John bears witness to the second creation, as we are adopted by God to be God's children forever. In holy baptism, you see, we, all of us, were born again. Born not of blood, but of water. Born not of the will of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Born not of the will of man, but of God. In holy baptism, we were granted that life that knows no ending. We were promised God's eternal commitment, and we were created anew in the very likeness of God. And so at the heart of all the hymns and carols, at the center of all the celebration and gifts, and behind all the lights and wreaths stands this one promise, that because of Christ and his incarnation, God regards each and every one of you as God's own beloved child, a possession treasured more than anything else in creation, now and forever. It is not only, of course, St. John that bears witness to this promise. St. Luke does as well, as we'll be reminded in our Christmas Eve services. In Luke's depiction of the Nativity, and especially in the Song of the Angels, St. Luke also testifies to the personal, even intimate, character and importance of Jesus' birth. As Martin Luther once preached in a Christmas sermon on the angel song, we should take note, Luther says, the angel does not simply say Christ is born, but rather, to you he is born. Neither does the angel say, I bring glad tidings, but to you I bring glad tidings of great joy. We see here, Luther continued, how Christ, as it were, takes our birth from us and absorbs it in his own birth, and then gives us in exchange his birth, that in it and through it we might become pure and holy, as if this holy birth were our own. So that every Christian may rejoice and glory in Christ's birth as much as if he or she had been born of the Holy Virgin Mary. This, then, is the gift and promise of Christmas that we look forward to throughout this Advent season, that for just one reason did Christ surrender his heavenly glory to be born as one of us, that for just one reason did Jesus teach and preach, suffer and die on the cross? That for just one reason was Jesus raised again on the third day? All for just one reason, that we might be reborn in holy baptism through God's grace and mercy, so that we will be made and declared a beloved child of God forever. In the end, truth be told, I actually love Santa Claus, sentimental songs, all those lights, gift-giving, and more. I cannot get enough of it at this time of the year, and yet I still hope for more. For me, for you, for all of us this season, something more, and that is that I hope that you and your loved ones have a chance to taste afresh and experience anew God's pledge to regard you always as God's own beloved, treasured child. God's vow to go with you into the new year and all that might come. God's promise to be with you and for you forever. So in these few days before Christmas that are left to us, and amid all the preparations and celebrations, take a moment, I pray, to let that confession sink in. That we celebrate, of course, Jesus' birth, and yet we also celebrate your own, your birth and your new life in and through Jesus the Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.